Second scripture reading today comes from John, and it again is about fathers and sons. And it has to do with a discussion going on among the followers of Jesus as to who is the Father. And they're doubting him that he is of the Father. And they're talking about who are the true disciples. And someone shouts out, "Abraham is our father." And here is Jesus' response. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. But I come from God, and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." The word of the Lord.
Can't you hold it together when you're up here? Oh, dear. Anyway, happy Father's Day, dads. If you notice way, way back, maybe things that you've read from fathers, from parents many generations ago, you will notice that, for instance, Sunday was not referred to as Sunday, but it was called the Holy Sabbath. You move a couple of generations from there, and it was not Holy Sabbath anymore. It was just the Sabbath. Go another generation or so after that, and it ends up being called just Sunday. And now we call it the weekend. I say that to say that I think over the generations, maybe we have failed somewhat to see our role, to see our responsibility as parents, as grandparents, as neighbors to children, whatever it is, to realize that we really do have an influence, can have an influence, good or bad, to those who God has entrusted to us. Again, whether it's our own children or whether it might even be someone else's children, I wonder, as I look at that very thing I shared with you, how well we are doing it. If we're not doing it very well, maybe there's some ways in which we can change that. You know, the text that was read in the Old Testament this morning shows us something about what happens when we aren't doing what God wants us to do. You know, Hezekiah, he had some good in him, but he had a little mess as well. And as Bill had mentioned too, he repented and he tried to do what was right for the most part. But then here's Hezekiah, who has a son, Manasseh, and Manasseh is a mess. He's doing evil. Evil in the eyes of the Lord, as you read through that text. And then there's Manasseh's son Amon, and he too is a real piece of work. But what I find too, as I read that text, is that one generation does influence another generation, and it happens that way. And that doesn't mean that those who want to live holy lives will always have holy children and holy grandchildren and holy great-grandchildren, and vice versa. If you live a life that is so self-centered and has nothing to do with God, that you're going to end up with crappy children. Because look what happens with Josiah. Here he had the parent and grandparent he had, and even his great-grandparent had some issues, but was much better by comparison. Here's Josiah. And you read just the beginning of that story of Josiah. But the fact that when he was 16 years old, he started turning to the Lord and wanting to do what his great-great-great-great-great-great, however many back he was, David, father, had done in following God. So I wanted that text read this morning to show us that we do have an influence on those that God has given us. But that also means no matter how much we've even messed it up, that God can work in spite of us. And sometimes God can work with us as well. So be encouraged either way, folks. No matter what you feel like you have been as a parent or as an influence in someone's life, God can work in spite of us. And God can work with us as well. In fact, in the New Testament text that was read this morning as well, we see how Jesus was talking to those who thought they had God as Father. He talked about their heritage in Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all those kinds of things, and thinking, you know, we've got good lineage here. But really, Jesus, what he's trying to tell them is, what have you done with it? What have you done with it? So you had Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as ancestors, as those you call, this is my father. Abraham was my father. But what have you done with it? What's it really mean to you? And he actually challenged them. Said, you know, if God were your father, you would love me. Because Jesus was sent by God. And they didn't even see it. They didn't even recognize it. In fact, he's very bold when he says, you know, if God is not your father and you don't love me, then you know who your father really is. Boom, right between the eyes. Your father's the devil. The devil himself. And he doesn't speak the truth. He's full of lies. He's good at what he does. And then he says, you know, can any of you prove me guilty of sin? The answer is absolutely not. I'm telling you the truth. He who belongs to God belongs to God. He who belongs to God hears what he says. And so that's the challenge for us. You know, actions produce consequences, don't they? We've always learned that, haven't we? Good or bad. I wonder sometimes, you know, when you have kids and then you have grandkids and you have other kids that may be real close to you, and I wonder sometimes when what comes out of my mouth is heard by them, what is it that they heard and what is coming out of their mouth? You know, our language, what comes out of our mouth has an effect on all those around us, good, bad, or otherwise. Whether it's foul or pleasant, whether it's critical or affirming, you know, it affects those whom we love. What are our priorities? You know, in our lives, is it going out on the golf course on Sunday? No, I'll tell you, folks, this is no surprise to you at all. The church never saved anyone. Might come as a shock to some of you. I can think I've been in these pews for 50 years, and I thought that was going to take care of me. The church doesn't save anybody. Jesus does. But that being said, I think the church has tremendous value in surrounding ourselves with people who have like mind, who can support each other when you're going through a tough time, or whether you're going through a great time. You can celebrate with each other. You can mourn with each other. You can have joy together, and you can have sorrow together. You can be encouraged by each other, and all those kinds of things. There's a tremendous value in being a part of a body like that. Is church a priority for us? Still in today's world, you'll find more women in church than you will men. It's not a really good testimony for us as men. There are more mothers in church than there are fathers. Grateful for that. Men, we have to step up to the plate. Our language, our priorities, our work ethic, our honesty, our morals, those affect those who are around us. We ought to take it into consideration. What about our spiritual disciplines? You know, because we can get loose, we can get spiritually fat, so to speak. We're not taking care of ourselves. How often do I spend time with God in prayer or in His Word? Just having some quiet time with Him. Do our children see us as spiritually bankrupt or wisely invested? You know, I've said this on many occasions before, and I say it again. I'd rather have my children loving the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart than being anything else in all the world. I'd rather have my child as a paraplegic, or I'd rather have my child sentenced by some illness that takes their life if they knew Jesus, rather than be healthy and wealthy. Because all those things are temporary. And there's only one thing that's eternal. We talk about legacies. How many of you ever heard of the song Only Jesus by Casting Crowns? There's a phrase in that song. I might have skipped a bit of that phrase, but it goes something like this. I don't want to leave a legacy. I'm stopping for a moment. Only Jesus. Now think about that. I don't want to leave a legacy. I just want to leave Jesus. And you know, when I think about it, come another generation after I'm gone and enjoying heaven, even though I'm not worthy. 20, 30 years down the road, no one's going to remember us, or very few people are going to remember us, are they? You know, kids, grandkids, my kids don't know much at all about my grandpa, Percy, and my grandma, Sadie. Or my grandma and grandpa, Calloway, because they died before they were born. They don't know them. They don't care about a legacy that they left. But my grandmas and grandpas left my mom and my dad, Jesus. And my mom and my dad left their four boys, Jesus. So that song makes a lot more sense to me. I don't want to leave a legacy. I just want to leave Jesus. Amen? You know, many fathers are willing to give their children everything but themselves. We need to be more invested in our children, in our grandchildren. We don't want to just leave good memories. We don't want to just leave nice toys. We want to leave eternal values. The older I get, those other things mean less and less. But the eternal values mean something. Far more than any of that stuff. So guys, and I speak to the ladies as well this morning. If we want to be good fathers, we need to follow the Father. Not just because we're genetically connected. Or, yes, I gave my life to Christ at some point in the past, and I'm thankful that I have my fire insurance. I'm not going to hell. We need to live for Him. We need to live for God. We need to live for Christ. Not just thank Him that He saved me from my sin. Our wives need husbands like that. And our kids need fathers who do the best they can to imitate the Father. They got a greater chance at realizing the eternal value that God places on us if we'll just accept it. So I leave that with you this morning as a challenge. If it makes us uncomfortable, it makes me uncomfortable at times too, because I'm not always portraying this in the best way I can and I want to. So wherever you're at right now, let God take you to the next step. You're not perfect. And God's not asking for perfection. He's just saying, take the next step with me. So I want you to pray that this morning as we close. Let's pray. God, I'm sure every single one of us as fathers would stand here this morning and say, I have failed. We've had many blown opportunities. Thank you, God, that you stand in the gap. Thank you, as the best daddy in the world, that you forgive us when we fail time and time again. But God, help us to realize everything we do or don't do affects the next generation. And over the generations, it looks like we've not been doing a very good job. So God, help us, all of us who have breath this morning, be that generation that says it's got to stop somewhere. And we want to turn the tables on the devil and let him know that he can't have our kids or our grandkids. That we're going to do everything we can to show them the God who loves them more than anyone else. Thank you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's